Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise and glory and honor unto our God this morning. Praise and glory and honor unto Him. Amen. We do want to welcome you to our church service, and we just pray the Spirit of the Lord would just be upon your life this morning and touch you and meet your needs. Last Sunday, the tithe and offerings to the church was $1,294. And thank you for giving, and we certainly do appreciate it. Would you please raise your hands as we pray a blessing upon you this morning? Father, I would pray that your blessings would be poured out upon your people this day. Lord God, you've seen what they've given unto you. And Lord God, we pray that it would that your blessings would overtake your people this week, Lord God, in Jesus' name. That you would touch their finances, you would touch their job, Lord, that you would be in their homes, that you would show them things in the Word of God that they've never seen before. That, Father, you would enlighten our eyes to see things, and you would quicken our hearts, Lord God, to your Spirit. Father, move upon our hearts and move upon our lives. And, Father, we give you this church, Lord God, and we lay it upon your altar, Lord God. Your will be done this day in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, children's church workers, would you please stand, and the children? Father, we pray for all these children that are going to children's church and the workers. Father, be with them today. And Father, help them to understand your word, Father. And be upon the workers as they teach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Otis, can you walk with them across the street? Thank you. Appreciate it. If anybody attacks them, just beat them up, bring them back, and we'll pray for them. Okay. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there. Charlie's. Lord. Amen, amen. Oh, they're coming. Okay. All right. We got to get them all. Got to get them all. Praise God. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing, guys. I tell you. Ella, how you doing? Oh, she's looking. Ella. Look, she's looking to the back. Ella. Papa says hi. I love you. Yes. Amen. I tell you, isn't God good? Amen. I tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord, when that last song started to play, Worthy is the Lamb, I felt the Spirit of God from the top of my head to the soul. I mean, it just, and I said, oh my God. I said, Lord, thank you. See, there's no amount of money. And really, there's no amount of praying. There's no amount of anything. Because it's not on our worthiness. It's on the worthiness of our God. Worthy is the Lamb. And I just felt it. Not that the Spirit of God wasn't here before. I felt the anointing. It was like, thank you, Lord. But I tell you, when that song started, I know for me personally, just the Spirit of the Lord just came into this place. As far as for me, I felt it. And I said, Lord. And you know, we don't go by feelings. We don't live by feelings as children of the living God. We live by faith in the Son of God. See, it doesn't matter how we feel tomorrow morning. We still got to get up and go to work. The husband or the wife kicks us out of bed and says, go to work. It's time to go, you know. And we go. But it's not how we feel that makes us a Christian. What makes us a Christian is our faith in our God and what He did at Calvary's cross. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know what today is? Does anybody know what today is? Looking on your calendar. What's that? Palm Sunday. Yes. Yes, today is considered on calendar Palm Sunday. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. And because you see, in Scripture, in reading, that happened. Palm Sunday is a week before he was crucified. And so that they, it's about 6 days, so they consider it about a week or so. And so that happened, and we're going to read about it, what happened on that day, which was a week before he was crucified for us. But don't forget, next Sunday is what? Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. We have service at what time? Oh, y'all good. This side, okay, this side. What time service is next Sunday? 9 o'clock. What y'all? Oh, I thought somebody said 10. Oh, Lord, no. 9 o'clock. That means you got to get up a little earlier. You know, you just got to get up a little earlier to eat a little bit of candy, whatever you got to do, you know, all that stuff. I know at home we have candy. We do all, you know, and just have fun. But I tell you what, we should not forget, it's not a bunny rabbit that died. Is the Lamb of God. It was a lamb. And so we got to keep that in perspective. And really, really every Sunday or every day is Resurrection Sunday for us as Christians, born again believers, in what God did. But I know the world steps maybe aside and says, we recognize that Jesus, King of Kings, that He resurrected. He resurrected. Amen. And we're going to be talking about His resurrection next Sunday. Amen. Well, amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you see anybody that belongs to this church during the week, remind them that church is at 9 o'clock. I'd hate for them to come in at 10. At 10 and miss an hour of service already. So, and you know they're going to be embarrassed, huh? They'll probably walk in one and walk out the other. You know, just so they walk in one, throw something in the offering, and walk out the other. No. See, I have to throw that in, but you know that's not true. Okay. No, no, no. No. People are the most important thing. God made people, and He died for people. And that's the most important thing. Amen. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. It's page 1616. I want to read one verse and then we'll go to another, something else in the New Testament. In Zechariah chapter 9, and you might say, well, Pastor, why are you reading this? Because I want you to see that the Old Testament always correlates with the New Testament. You know, they prophesied about Jesus in the Old Testament, and it was Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in the New Testament. So all those things were done. So I want you to see that. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I know it says another word in there, but I'm not going to use it. You might say, what word? A-S-S. Okay, come on now. And really, it's not a bad word. But, you know, you try to keep things civil, and you try to keep things right. You know, just upon that line, as it's a fact. It's a fact. You might say, well, why won't you say that word? Because it's not correct. It's not correct, and I'm not saying in Scripture, but it's just not right to say some words. Okay? You might say, well, because you're a pastor? No, not that way. It's because I'm a Christian. But you know what? You know what's a sad thing is? That you have some pastors that are getting behind the pulpit, and I know this for a fact, and they are cussing behind the pulpits. And I know that's hard. It's hard for me to understand this, you know, and saying all kinds of words that would just boggle your mind because you're saying these should not be said. We would We'd kill our kids. I mean, you know, you would really, but you have some, because of their hearts that may not be right with God, or that they say they feel liberated and free, are saying awful, awful words from the pulpit, which should be a sacred desk in the church. Sacred. This is where the Word of God comes from. And so not that it has any magical powers. No. But it's sacred because the Word of God comes forth unto the people from this area. So God considers it sacred. It's a sacred part. And so we should keep it sacred. But it says that in Zechariah that the king would come riding upon a donkey. So that's in the Old Testament. Now let's move to the New Testament, okay? In Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 1. It says this, "And when they drew near or nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway," that means immediately, "and you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, or ought unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king comes unto you, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and the colt and the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed or scattered them in the way. And the multitude that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus the prophet, the son of the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Here we see a prophecy that was fulfilled, because in Zechariah it says that he would come riding upon a donkey into Jerusalem. Now you have to remember, this was done approximately a week, 6 to 7 days before he was actually crucified and rose again from the dead. And you might say, well, how can a week before they are praising him, and a week later they're killing him? That's an amazing thing. I mean, that's not like years have passed. It's 1 week. 1 week that they have come to the place where they were, you know, because they were having certain feasts that were going on in Jerusalem there, that they had a lot of people there. But the people saw or recognized him as king. And, you know, it says that Jesus told the two disciples, Go and get the colt, or go and get the colt and its foal, bring them to me. They didn't know exactly what he was going to do with it. They didn't know what was going to go on, you know. But the disciples, the two of them, which they think were whoever, they went and they got him. And when they asked, you know, why are you taking this? They said, well, our master has need of it. That's all basically they said, and took him. And they brought these two. Now you have to remember, a donkey with a new little foal there, you know, they're not too tame at all. I mean, you know, not at all. But it says in the story of what happened that they took the donkey, they put, you know, clothes upon it, saddle basically upon it to cover, and Jesus got on the donkey, And he started to ride through the streets of the donkey. The donkey then bucked him off. The donkey didn't do anything but lift up the King of Kings and ride him through the city. And they were giving homage to the king. They were throwing their coats. They were throwing their garments so that the donkey could step on it instead of stepping on dirt and other stuff. They started cutting down certain, it says tree limbs, but it could be palms, trees, you know, limbs, whatever, and started cutting that and putting that down so the donkey could ride on it, giving homage and praise and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remembering this was happening 1 week before. 1 week before. God had chosen to fulfill His plan riding on a donkey or a colt. What is the meaning of this? If God can use a stinky little donkey in the triumph fulfillment of His plan, then just maybe He could use us. When this donkey was born, do you think this donkey had in his mind, you know, a Messiah's coming? And before he dies, I'm going to ride him. That donkey could care less what was going on in the world. But God had a plan for this stinky, and we don't even consider it of much value, basically, a donkey. I mean, you know, it's not like a horse, you know, majestic, the stallion, you know. Yeah, it's not like something like that. It's an old donkey. But that donkey, God chose. What value do you and I have in the kingdom of God? Certainly more value than an old donkey. But God had a plan for this donkey to be fulfilled upon the earth. And God has a plan for you and I upon this earth. And how much more value are we to Him? We're so valuable, and I know you know this, that He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the cross, so that we could be liberated and free from sin. So that we could have the life that God wanted us to have. So that we could be free from those things that have entangled us. And live a life that is pleasing unto our God. An old donkey. Some things that are important about this donkey. Number one, he was selected. Wow. That should get you excited. That old donkey was selected by God to fulfill a plan a week before his death. That old donkey had a plan by God. Selected. Old Slewfoot will try to tell you that basically we're just mistakes here. That we just evolved from whatever. But we need to realize that God has selected you to be here. That God has positioned you to be here and selected you for a mighty purpose here upon the earth. That God has selected you to be what He desires and wants you to be. Can you imagine? He told those two disciples, go and get the donkey and the foal. They were tied up where they needed to be. And they took them. And they took them. And they brought it to the king. My God, selected by God. Selected by God. You have been selected by Him. You are very valuable in the sight of God. I know the world may look at you and may look at me and say, if they die, they die. So what? That's euthanasia. Old. They're saying the old has no use and the unborn has no use. So they don't mind killing either one. But you always have to remember, you kill the young, you kill the old, they're coming for the middle. Because there's no value of life. God values the young from inside the womb. My God, He values that. He values the old, which I know the world says, oh, if they're in a wheelchair, if they're bedridden, they're nothing. But God values the old. God values the young. That means, you know what? He values the middle. That's where we are. Thank God. He values us. He selected us for a purpose. You're not here by happen chance. You're not here by just, well, you know, you just happen to be. My God, He's made you. And He's made me in the image of His Savior, of our God. That God has made us and selected us for a purpose. Clearly, Jesus had made arrangements to use this donkey ahead of time. The point is this, specifically, the donkey had been set aside for a noble purpose. He is also selected. God has set us aside for a day like this, for a noble service. People, I know this. Our Savior is coming. You need to shout, man. You might say, I don't like noise. Well, you better. There's a lot of noise in heaven. With some shouting going on. Right now they're shouting, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's the angels just shouting. Well, buddy, we're going to have some shouting going on here. Can you imagine when those eastern skies are opened up by God? And people are caught up because they know God? And He takes us to heaven? My God! Selected for a noble service. You might say, well, you know, I don't think I'm here for a noble service. My God, you here because God has put you here upon the earth. Where you live, what you have, for a noble service, to give praise, to give honor, and to live for Him, and to let Him move in your heart and life. He's put you here for a noble service, to work. To work. To get things done. The Scripture says, like Miss Otis has said, and I... this morning, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's the Bible. It says that. He says to work. To work. You know why He says to work? This one, well, probably more than one reason. But you know one reason? Because when a mind becomes idle, starts to think things that just aren't too good. They say what an idle mind is, what a place for the devil's workshop, you know. But God says to work. To work. We need to work, you know. Let God, and you might say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. That's work. That's work, you know. But God says to work because it brings honor to the human being. But God has a noble service, a noble task for each and every one of us. God has a noble task individually for us, but also God has a noble task for us collectively as a church. We serve one God. We have one mission, and that's to win the world. Not for us, but for Him. We serve one God that comes out in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have one mission, and that's to win the world for the kingdom of God. You might say, well, can we do it? We'll do our part. We'll do our part. We'll tell people about Jesus. We'll tell them that He's the only way. We've been selected by God. Selected. I don't ever want anybody that I know of to ever close their eyes and think, and they're for their last time, and go to heaven, whatever, and think, I was of no purpose. My God. What? Everyone has a purpose. Because God says we are here for a purpose. To give praise and glory to Him and to share the gospel with others. My God. That's it. A noble service. And many other things. To be a great father. To be a great mother. My God. To pray for our children. To pray for our community. To do the things that God puts in our hearts. As children of the living God. To have a job. Thank God for the jobs He's given us. That He supplies for us. We've seen that our God is the great supplier, the Jehovah Jireh He's our God that supplies for us. Have you been on your last dollar? You in the negative? So, God is the God that can take care of things. Just bring it to Him. Now, I know sometimes we get in a hole. And I'm not talking about finance, but anything. We get in a hole and we think God can take us out tomorrow. But it took us years to get in that hole and we're over. I mean, that hole is coming in on us. And we think God can take us out tomorrow. And He could if He really wanted to. But sometimes He'll let us wallow in that hole for a while. But He'll take us out. Because we'll learn that He's the great God, Jehovah, that can take care of some things. That He can take care of all things in our hearts and lives. That He can give us a purpose. My God, when you get up tomorrow, don't get up saying, oh, Monday. Oh, and I know that's hard. I know I work too outside this church. I know it's hard. But look, get up tomorrow and say, Lord, another day You've given to me. And you start to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. It's that old song. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. And I tell you know what that does? When we get our eyes upon Him, it takes our eyes off of the problems in our lives. It does. And it keeps our eyes focused upon Him. But He has selected each and every one of us for a noble service, a noble task. Just as He selected that donkey. In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, John 15, 16, Andrew, it said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." Look. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Who's saying that? The Father, Jesus. He's saying, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That's the kind of God we serve. He's chosen us. And it says this, that you, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Remember, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how we pray. You might say, is it wrong to pray to Jesus? Jesus said, pray to the Father. And we can read, there's many other instances where it says that. There's a reason. He's saying, go to Him. And when you come in the covenant of me, it will be given unto you. We go to the Father in the covenant of the Son of Jesus, or in Jesus, and the Father gives us what we ask for, if it's according to His will. This name and claim and stuff, that's not God. We've had so many people, their mouth gets so dry because they name it, and they name it, and they name it, and they name it. They claim it, and my God. Well, look, when Jesus died on the cross, He made a covenant with man and God. And you know what? We don't have to beg God for something. We don't have to beg Him and beg Him and beg Him. When he sees that we have a need of something, we go to Him and say, Father, You see this need. Lord, move upon what needs to happen. And Father, I need for You to meet this need. The Holy Spirit, because you have covenant with the Father, the Holy Spirit moves and starts to do things and gives you wisdom and shows you how to do things and moves upon people's lives. My God, that's the kind of God you serve. Your children doesn't have to come beg you for things. They ask. Now, sometimes you give it to them, sometimes you don't. As a parent, you're using judgment. As the Father, He uses judgments unto us. He knows what we can handle, and He knows what we can't handle. He knows what will destroy our soul, and He knows what will build up our soul. Well, the Scripture says, if I ask anything in His name, He'll give it to me, and I want a BMW. Well, that's okay, but you may not get it. If He wants to give it to you, thank God. If He doesn't, thank God. Thank God. He's in control. You see, man thinks he can take this word and twist it and saying, Father, you have to. We try to hold God as a prisoner. The Almighty God that has made everything in the earth, that has made all humanity, we try to hold Him in prison saying, you have to. You have to, Lord. And Lord, we get angry. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, doesn't God honor His word? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And we can go to Him and say, Father, this is what your word says. But you see, God looks at a humble heart. Yes, it says to go to God boldly before His throne. That means with confidence that we're not orphan children, but that we are children of the living God, and we can go before Him, and we can and God wants to meet our needs. But yet we got to be careful how we go in and ask Him. We got to be careful how we look to Him. He's not a God that can be manipulated by how much Scripture we memorize. Now, we need to memorize Scriptures, and we need to get it in us. But He's not manipulated by man at all. Like, we sometimes manipulate each other, I guess, if you want to say it that way. Or can be. So, what we do is, yes, go and say, Father, this is what Your Word says. But Lord, Your perfect will be done. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven for my personal life. You know, if God would give you $1 million tomorrow, most of you wouldn't be in church next week. Probably. Maybe even myself. I don't know. I don't have $1 million. What I'm saying is I don't want to leave myself out. But now, maybe God would bless us. Thank God. Thank God. But you see, we gotta, Lord, thank You for what You've given us. But Father, Lord, You want to give us more, I thank You for it. And be faithful with what You have. Be faithful. Because you see, He knows what will be a stumbling block before us. And He knows what will help us build our relationship with Him. So you see, sometimes He'll let hardships come a little bit because it keeps us on our edge. It keeps us on our knees. It keeps us praying. It keeps us humble. It keeps us. So you see, the ways of the world sometimes can creep into even a Christian's heart and strangle out the Word of God and destroy it. And so we have to remember, we need to keep our hearts right before Him. We need to remember God is in control. And yes, things may happen. And look, you go before Him and say, Father, Your will be done. And Lord, however You want to do it, but go to Him respectfully as the Father, Your Father, giving Him the respect and the honor that He is due. He selected us just as He selected that donkey, my Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Also it says that He sanctified. Matthew 21, verse 2. It says, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you will find a donkey tied in a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Just bring them unto me. Most of the time in Jewish tradition, these animals... What's his name? Hayden. Okay, so I have Hayden and Ella. Hey, we'll work with both of them. Hey, look. But in Jewish tradition, these animals were usually set aside for certain specific religious things. Animals like this. But here we see God used it, or the Father, or Jesus used it, that it would lift Him up and bring Him praise. You see, that's what God requires of us. It says in Scripture, and I know you'll know this, if I be lifted up, it didn't say, if Pastor Joe is lifted up, it didn't say, if Gaydon International Church is lifted up. It didn't say, any of your names or my name, if they be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. No. It says this. If I be lifted up, I will draw, what? All men unto Him. And that donkey, Jesus had to get on that donkey, and He lifted up Jesus. You know, this is just a little. I wonder if that donkey had a little grin on his face, you know. I'm carrying the King of Kings. That pride issue was coming in. And he might have had even a little strut there, you know. We don't know. Boy, when they put those clothes down, when people started taking off that, because they didn't take off their shirts and stuff, but they took off outer garments that they wore on their heads and over them, because it's a very hot area. But can you imagine as they started to throw that clothes down? Man, that donkey got to the first cloth. My God, he said, look at this, man. For me. Sure, he took those steps. He thought in his heart, he was only a donkey. But in his heart, he felt like the great black stallion. My God. He was strutting his stuff. Strutting his stuff, or her stuff. Her stuff. But that's okay. When we lift Him up, it says the power of the Holy Spirit comes. As we started to sing that song, Worthy is the Lamb. We didn't say, Worthy is Gaydon International Church. Worthy is Pastor Joe. Or Worthy, and put your name in there. We said, what? Not even worthy is the bunny rabbit, huh? But what? Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy. It says, if I be lifted up. And man, that donkey rolled Jesus. And the people started throwing things. You might say, well, who were these people? Because they were having certain feasts, the Passover and certain things. They had three different feasts that was happening in Jerusalem at that time. They had a lot of visitors. So a lot of people were in the streets. And I don't know, probably, you know, honestly, you know, as they started to see certain people just throwing them down their coats, and they were paying homage to the King of Kings, I'm sure others thought, well, what are they doing? Who is that? Oh, is that the new mayor? Is that the new, oh, who is that? Trying to look. And so they said, well, okay. And they just started to throw their stuff. And then they ran out of clothes, however, and they just started cutting down parts of palm trees and other parts of the trees and throwing that down. Because they knew they had to give homage to this God. But it wasn't the religious sect that was in the other part saying, who is this? And they said, that's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. So you see, this is what you do. You lift Jesus up. Lift Him higher and higher in your hearts and lives. When you get up in the morning saying, okay, I'm more worthy than old donkey. Oh, yeah. You're a child of the living God. When you take your feet out of that bed and it hits the floor, give praise to God. Saying, Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for the things you supply for me. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my children. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. And I tell you what, the power of the Spirit of the living God will come in upon your heart and upon your life, because the direction of your eyes is not upon self or upon other things in the world, but your eyes have been pointed in the right direction, and that's towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you become the donkey that rides Jesus. Ooh. My God, my God, what a thrill it must have been for that donkey to be selected and prepared and sanctified. We're selected by God, prepared by God, and sanctified by God to do the duty that God has called us to do, to get the work done for the kingdom of God. We serve one God, and we have one mission, and that's to win the world for the kingdom of God, one soul at a time, one soul at a time, to see them come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and to praise Him and to honor Him. That's what happened a week before. A week before. A week before the death of our Savior. Do you think it outraged those religious people? It sure did. When we're going to lift up Jesus, it's going to outrage some people. People we think, well, they should be excited. Not everybody's excited when you lift up Jesus. Some run and some come against you. But that's okay. Let them come against you. You stand on the firm foundation of your God. And you let God fight the battle. Just as Jehoshaphat. What did he do when the armies rose up? He went to the Lord. One of the only godly kings that Israel had. He saw the armies rising up. And what did he do? He went to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and said, Father, what do you want us to do? Because he knew what they had in numbers, he didn't have. He turned to his God, and his God said, this is what I want you to do. Send out the singers first. Send out the praisers first. And I'm sure he probably said, Lord, you sure? You want to be respectful. But he said, Lord, you sure? And so he sent the praisers out. And he sent the singers out. And what they were doing, who they were singing about, and who they were praising, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it says they were in camp out there, that when they heard that, they heard singers. They heard praises. They didn't know what was happening. Confusion came upon the enemy and they killed themselves. And what did they do? They went in and they took all the jewelry, all the gold, all the nice things. God blessed them because of obedience. That's what God will do to us. We can't say, Lord, I want this, this, and this. Now, if you have need of it, you know, okay. If you need a refrigerator, pray for a refrigerator. I mean, you know, I don't want you to live out of ice chests or something. You know what I mean? Pray for it. Ask God to supply it. He'll move. He'll do it. But God supplied for these people. Gosh, that's the kind of God you serve. That will move mountains and will destroy enemies on your behalf. He will destroy every work of the enemy upon your life if you go to Him. Saying, Father, I don't know what to do, but I know You can handle this, Lord. I know You can. I don't know. It seems rocky right now, but my faith is in You, Lord. My faith is in You, Father. My faith is in You. And the Bible says that when we put our faith in Him, it's like a trigger in our God. He starts to move. He starts to move. He starts to move. He starts to move. The praisers went forth. The singers went forth. And they were destroyed. They destroyed themselves. They killed themselves. Have you ever heard of a battle that's won? Not one arrow was shot. Not one bullet was shot. Nothing. Zero. As a country, that would save us a lot of money. The God of Israel won the battle for them. The God of Israel will win your battle. Worthy is the Lamb. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Him. We need to lift Him up. Let God take care of the battles. And God will work in our hearts and lives. Amen. You can stand, please. He selected you. He prepared you. And He sanctified you. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank You, Lord. 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 Father, we thank You for what You're doing in our hearts and lives, Lord. Father, we praise You and we honor You this day. Lord God, we come before You. And Lord God, You see the things that are going on in each and every one of these people's lives. But Father, I know that You can work things out for them. You're fighting for them. You're on their side. And Father, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work in their hearts and in their lives. I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart and life to Him this morning? Have you given your heart and life to Him? If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to receive Him this day, would you please raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. Let's all pray together. We have two people that lift their hands and we want to pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept You as the Lord of my life. I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again and You're seated on the right hand of the Father. I accept You as the Lord of my life. I will live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, Lord, I pray Your protection upon Your church this week, Lord God. Father, I pray that the angels would be commissioned around about all of our homes, vehicles, jobs, around our children, around each and every one of us, Lord God. And that, Father, You're going to move mightily within our hearts and lives. You will show us things. And Lord God, Lord, I pray right now victory in every person's heart and life, Lord God, as they put their faith in You and You alone. Father, Lord, I thank You for Your people and the things that You're doing in their hearts and lives, Lord. We give You praise and honor and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week. And don't forget next Sunday, 9 o'clock. Next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Have a great week.